Welcome to the Conversion Tracking Playbook, where we share how to overcome tracking challenges that e-commerce brands face today and real-world examples of transforming data into insights. Hey, this is Brad. Before we get into today's episode, just want to take a minute to remind you the Elevar Summit 2024 is April 29th and 30th in Charleston, South Carolina, the best time of the year. Come the weekend before, bring your family, make a weekend out of it, and then get into the future of analytics and tracking and AI and all the fun stuff we have planned for Monday and Tuesday in April. It's going to be amazing. Feedback from last year we got last October was that it was one of the best events, if not the best event that they ever shared, because we are getting in the weeds. We are bringing practitioners to teach, show you what is working today, what is going to work this year. So Elevar Summit, there is a link in the show notes or just Google Elevar Summit and hopefully our SEO works. With that, enjoy the episode. Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Conversion Tracking Playbook. I'm your host, Brad Redding, and I have a special guest today, Philip Crow, who I'll let you give a quick intro on yourself in a second. A couple things before we get started. Number one, if you have not registered for the Elevar Summit yet, be sure to do so April 29th and 30th here in Charleston, South Carolina. We've got some amazing speakers and just people coming. It's going to be awesome. Our first one was in October, this past October. It was great. And this year we've got some speakers from Hexclad and Wandering Bear and so many amazing brands that are coming and sharing the stage, sharing their wisdom. The whole theme and topic is future of. I think there might have been I might have recorded an ad that you were to listen to before this pod started. So this is really reinforcing April 29th and 30th. So that's the Elevar Summit. Today's episode is going to be very specific, talking through customer scoring. So a couple episodes, I gave an overview just on propensity scoring and a one-on-one version. Today, we're going to talk through like a quote-unquote top 10 use cases of how that works and specifically in the world of Philip, your experience in Buxton's world, 30-year experience of retail analytics, consumer data, customer data. So with that, before we get into the top 10, yeah, give a quick intro. Thanks for jumping on. And we're going to share on some of the powerful things we'll be doing with Elevar data and Buxton data and bringing a ton of value to our customers. So who are you?
Thank you for having me, Brad. My name is Philip Crow and I run our product team at Buxton. I've been with the company for almost 19 years now and have kind of been around every facet of this business. And as Brad mentioned, you know, we're a company that focuses on customer analytics. We study customers. We like to know them, everything that we can. We like to know about customers. And so we're really excited about how we can apply this to the Elevar world.
Nice. Well, Philip and I have been doing a bunch of calls with customers. Some of you might even be listening, but just we've been trying to do a couple of things. One, just share a little bit about the vision of the early products that we've ideated on over the last couple of months and are starting to test and trial. But then two, also just understand what are some pain points that, again, since Philip, you and Buxton, I mean, you work with Warby Parker's and Nordstrom and Anthropology and American Eagle. So very large brands, but typically in the brick and mortar space and e-com, it's not that you don't have any e-com customers, you do, but Elevar is we've only really operated in the world of just digital analytics, digital data collection. So it's also, we're just exploring, okay, now that you have digital data collection with Elevar and you have offline data collection and what 700 plus data sources that you're consuming. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I think we're north of 700, 723 was maybe the last number that I heard is accurate. So I'm gonna say that's right. But yeah, no, I mean, you're spot on, Brad. The vision here, as you mentioned, you know, Buxton comes from this traditionally brick and mortar world where we work with these offline brands and the clients that we have historically worked with that do have an e-commerce component are coming at it from this brick and mortar first world. And then they recognized, hey, I've got to have e-com. And so, you know, obviously Elevar comes at it from the other side. So the merging of those two worlds to be able to really start to understand the omni-channel behavior of the consumer and provide analytics and, you know, superior services to help them is really exciting.
All right. So before we get into the first couple, the first one will be the hidden gems and the stranger score, but just to give everyone just a context again. I don't want to assume people know exactly what we're talking about when the 723 data sources and movement data and psychographic data, but maybe just give a 60-second overview when we're talking about data that Buxton has that's outside of the world digital that can turn, the way I describe it, you turn a stick figure or a half a stick figure that might be a person online that you, even when they place an order that you might know about, you might have their address, but what I feel like Buxton does with your data, your historical data you've been consuming and bringing this consumer intelligence to your customers is making that stick figure into a three-dimensional figure. And maybe like you have their history. So you have their journal or their diary of what, you know, what they've done in their life. So with that terrible explanation, explain how that works and just a foundation of how are you building out these consumer insights? And then we'll get into some of these, the top 10 use cases.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You know, I think about it as like a trail of breadcrumbs that we all leave in our daily lives. Everything that we do, you're leaving behind this trail of activity, whether it's a place you visited or whether it's something you signed up for or whether it's something you purchased. That data is all being collected by various different organizations. And a lot of times you're consenting in your activities to have that data be shared and sold and aggregated with companies like Buxton who can use it for analytical purposes. So when you think about the types of data that we're looking at, it is everything from the traditional demographics and things like psychographics, which is really how you behave as a consumer. It's your lifestyle, it's your belief system, and the things that make you tick and make decisions as a consumer. It's all those attributes in terms of who you are. But we're also looking at how people are moving through the physical world. We have many different data sets that come in on a daily basis that tell us how you're moving through the physical world. That comes from things like cars and mobile devices and just a variety of different types of sources that tell us how you're moving through the physical world and also the digital world. And so we want to see how people are moving around in the digital world as well to really complete that full view. You know, being who we are, we've had the opportunity now to work with, on the Buxton side of things, I think over 5,000 or 6,000 different brands at this point in our history, and, you know, actively have north of 600 clients that we work with today. A lot of those clients and that experience and history has also given us access to data. Data that we're able to use in our analytics. And so it comes from a variety of sources. But as you mentioned, when you combine it all together, there's about 700 different sources that come together to help us build these pictures of who these consumers are today.
Yeah. Okay. So let's kick off again. Some of these, we'll call them customer scores, or maybe we won't actually just put a name exactly to it, but just use cases of, so the couple trials that we've been reaching out, and again, some of you might be listening to this that we've spoken to about, hey, we're going to do this customer scoring or propensity scoring. So I think the use cases will largely be around that, where we are consuming your historical customer data. It's running through a model or set of models or analysis to do something. And then we are returning, whether it's a one time or in real time, whether it's a scored customer or some sort of list, a cohort, et cetera. So with that, let's start with hidden gems. So that's number one, use case number one. You have 100,000 customers on your list. Some have purchased 20 times, some have purchased one time. You might have people on your list that have purchased zero times. What is the hidden gems?
Well, the hidden gems are those people that fall into your customer list who look just like your best customers on every other dimension of how they live their lives. They just haven't bought from you like a best customer. Why is that? It could be that you haven't talk to them enough. It could be a variety of reasons, but on all dimensions that we can measure and see, they look just like your best customer. So as you think about your existing customer list and how to prioritize your marketing energy and efforts toward that list, let's do it toward the people who look the most like your best customers and then work down the list from there. And so it's really about helping you be more efficient and optimizing your energy toward where you likely have the most potential to improve performance.
I imagine some listening to this might be thinking, okay, does that mean you're looking at the first products that someone purchased and the channels that they came in through a TikTok ad or a Facebook ad or Google ad, or and what campaign was it tied to? So they might be thinking, well, we already do this through our own business intelligence or own reporting. So can you anchor again? So that's the like, oh, we're going to look at who purchased once, they matched this campaign, they purchased this product the first time. Oh, that's what my top customer, they purchased this product the first time. They also came through that campaign. So that's the same customer. Explain how, again, what we're doing is different.
Well, as you indicated, the first part of the analysis is understanding who are our best customers. And, you know, we do look at things like traditional, you know, how much have they spent with you? When was the last time they purchased from you? How often do they purchase? The traditional recency, frequency, monetary value type stuff. That all goes into helping understand who that customer is. Now, in the Buxton viewpoint here, we're somewhat agnostic to how that customer made it to you. What we care about is how have they behaved with you as a customer. But once we know who those best customers are, what we're actually doing is applying artificial intelligence and several different types of artificial intelligence combined with all that data that we talked about a moment ago to study beyond just their behavior with you, what are all those other attributes that define those best customers? And what are those things that makes them unique from both non-customers and from all of your other customers? And once we know those dimensions and we know what those key traits are, then we can go down and sort of measure them for the rest of your customer base to understand who those lookalikes are within your customer base. So what we're doing here is really meant to be sort of channel agnostic in terms of how we get to that understanding of who these people are. It's about how they look and everything else that they do as a consumer in their daily lives beyond what they do with you.
Can you give some examples?
Yeah. So some of the things that we're looking at, for instance, you know, we look at spatial dimensions. How far away do these consumers live from your location if you have a location? Or how far away do they live from other types of concepts who make similar goods and services? Ultimately, we're actually looking at how far away they live from every other place in the United States. So there's just thousands and thousands of dimensions there as an example. But then we talked a little bit about, you know, how these people are moving through the physical world, right? So we're looking at, when was the last time this person was at a McDonald's? How many times were they at a McDonald's in the last 3 months, the last 12 months, et cetera? So all of that comes to bear in addition to all the other things. And we're really looking for the patterns in the chaos, right? We're using that AI to help us identify in this massive, you know, mountain of data where some of those patterns are that it's just been historically, they weren't able to be identified with manual human labor.
Yeah, it would take way too long.
That's right.
Okay. So the hidden gems, again, finding, again, using all those attributes, there's the reports that I've seen. It's pretty wild, like how deep you're going into of looking at, because if I share the one use case, it is very specific to one brand we're talking to. But yeah, I think you can use your own imagination if you're listening to this, hearing the spatial and going to McDonald's or people that buy your product. They also are found, you know, their visit lows on the weekends, or here's what the household looks like, or here's the type of cars or whatever it might be that associates them. And then trying to find those people on your list that have purchased one time or zero times that share those similar characteristics. And there's all those different dimensions. I think that's really one of the unique things I've seen with some of these first outputs of running this process through some large customer data sets. Is this, you don't have just one customer type. You have different customer types in different regions. Okay, so that would be finding hidden gems. That's use case number one. So use case number two, closely related, would be the stranger score. So can you describe this use case?
Sure. So, you know, what we're finding, especially as we're talking to a lot of the e-commerce brands, but this holds true for brick and mortar brands as well, is that a lot of these brands have data on people that they've collected where they may not have become a customer. They may not have made a transaction with them, but they've got email addresses. They may have first name, last name, phone numbers, et cetera, even addresses. And so with the strangers portion of the product, we can essentially take that data in and score those records in the same way to help you understand within that universe, where do you have the most potential? And so it's a similar concept. We're studying those attributes of those people, but we're ultimately helping you identify where do you have the most potential within this universe. And again, the goal on all of these things is to help you focus your efforts, focus your budget so that you can spend it more effectively where there's room for upside potential.
Yeah. So the so what on that would be focusing. It could be through audiences that you are uploading to Meta or Google. It could be through different ways communicating through your email SMS platforms. It could be excluding, so saving money by not marketing to people that look nothing like your best customers. Those are probably like some of the main, like direct mail, postcards, things of that nature. It could be, again, you're hitting saving costs and targeting your best customers. Use case number three, again, I think this one's somewhat related. We touched on it on the hidden gems, but this would be the offer match. So describe what this use case is.
Yeah, offer match is really cool. And this is something that we've applied the AI technology to where it really seems to shine. And this allows us to look at the offers that you have historically offered to your customers and what they've responded to. And as we go through that in that process of examining how they have behaved subsequently to those offers being made and what offers have resonated with different types of people, we're able to then make predictions on what offer you should offer any given audience member at that point in time. And so you can think of it as a snapshot that allows you to really optimize the offer so that you're not giving away margin where you shouldn't be, but at the same time, not under offering something to somebody that it's going to take you an escalation and multiple touch points and multiple costs to ultimately get them to respond. And so by optimizing that from the get-go, we're making it more efficient.
So the offer, it's essentially ensuring that you're saving on margin. So instead of giving 20% off, you might only need to give someone 10% off. And then the other is reducing that time to purchase. So instead of having to send 4 or 5 messages and you're incrementally increasing the offer just to try to convert that person, it's trying, you're in this offer match AI, it's start with this is going to be the best chance or the best offer and try to convert them in that first or second time and save those 4 to 5 touch points, which again would be a saving on cost. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Value on kind of both sides of that coin.
All right. Use case number 4. This one is super interesting. We were talking about this last week on a call. So this is search spend. So looking at zip codes and again, getting into just a little bit more of the profiling, can you describe this use case of search spend and maybe within the world of Google Ads, which I can touch on as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of different types of media, search being the one we've kind of centered this concept around, but also applying to other types of media purchases, but that are made at the zip code level. And so with search spend, we're using that information and that knowledge about who your best customers are and the customers who are most likely to be responsive to you to optimize your purchases, your media purchases, by telling you essentially which zip codes to focus on. And so we go out and we use that information. We look at all of the households that are living and working in those geographies, and we match them against what we know about your customers. We then quantify and assess a quantity of customer potential for your particular brand within that geography. And then ultimately, we provide you back with that sort of list of ranked zip codes and an understanding of how much potential there is within that zip code. And this allows you to go get smarter about how you optimize your paid search and other media purchases that you're doing at that level.
Yeah, I know my Google Ads friends will like this one. The next use case, this gets in a little bit in that mixed online, offline world, but this is the brand matching. So where we're ranking brands and brand locations based on customer similarity and then the trade area capture of the customer potential. So we had this call has actually come up a couple times where a brand might be assessing, they're going into either their own retail or they're wholesaling, going into, you know, Whole Foods or Sprouts or whatever it might be, and they're trying to assess what locations to go into. So can you just describe the brand match and again, the scoring of customers and your customer list and using the entire 100% of the US household data that Buxton has, what's the use case here and how does this impact brands?
Yeah. So one of the proprietary data sets that I didn't touch on earlier is that we've gone in and are continuously profiling at the location level, every location of every retail brand in the country. We are constantly monitoring who is walking into their doors, creating profiles of those individuals. There's some other data that actually feeds into us assessing that as well. But ultimately, we're constantly creating these profiles of brands, both at the brand level and at the location level and at other levels of aggregation as well. And so for brands who are looking to understand where to distribute their product and which brands to go focus on for distribution partnerships, this is a product that can help them understand where to focus. Again, because what we do is we compare the profile of your brand and your customers and the transactions that you have today online. And we can tell you how similar or dissimilar that is to this network of brick and mortar retail brands throughout the country. And then once we've identified for you those brands that have the greatest potential, well, within those brands, we can also then tell you, hey, this is as you strategize together with that brand to roll your product out, these are the locations of that brand that have the greatest quantity of your potential customers located in those trade areas. And this just gives you a better fighting chance out of the gate, right? What takes the guesswork out of trying to understand how to go about that process and does it with some data-backed science.
And this is really the core of part of it. This is the core of Buxton's history, where you initially customers were coming to Buxton, or brands were coming to Buxton to help determine where to open up the next store and what's the highest probability that's going to be a profitable store and how to scale that, correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's kind of where we started our application of our consumer analytics toward that problem is how many locations can I have? Where should they be? And all centered around that understanding of the customer.
Yeah. Okay, this next use case is came up on, again, a couple calls. I'm holding out from like naming names because I'm processing the calls and I want to name the brands that we're talking to. But very similar to what we were just talking about of just helping assess, okay, what's essentially the potential and probability of going into this location or set of locations being successful. But we got into the topic of TAM, your total addressable market. Can you share a little bit on that thread? Again, it's similar to what we just talked about with the brand match, but yeah, your TAM. So if someone's like, hey, Philip, these are some of our competitors and we just want to understand a little bit more about our current market penetration and potentially the total addressable market that we have an opportunity to capture.
Sure. Yeah. And this can take a few different forms, but ultimately, yes, again, we're measuring customer potential, you know, whether that's at the US level or, you know, by DMA or other unit of geography. But then, you know, we can cross-reference that to help you kind of understand how much green space TAM is there, TAM that's not really already captured by competitors in a certain market, and kind of help paint that picture for you.
Next use case, this was one of my favorites that I learned about last year in very early calls with you, but it is I'm a brand and obviously I'm a larger brand and my competitors are online and they have brick and mortar and I can get a list of, okay, everyone that's been on my site, my brand site over the last 90 days, here's who has been visiting a physical location of a competitor. So I'm Nike. Who on my site has been visiting Reebok or New Balance or whoever else my competitor is. Maybe I just gave away the use case, but can you expand on this one a little bit?
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of it. You know, we can look at your website traffic, right, and your customer base from your online transactions and then monitor where do we see that customer base visiting, whether it's specific competitor locations, category level. Really, we can do this in a few different ways, but, you know, how often are we seeing them and are we seeing those rates of visitation to the competition increase? Or are we seeing them decrease? And, you know, how does that compare? So this really gives you a measuring stick, so to speak, to understand both the types of customers that are being impacted by the competition, as well as the impact of your actions and your competitors' actions on changing that equation.
Again, I just love this one because I'm obsessed with customer health scores at Elevar, and we're always trying to figure out green, yellow, red, you know, who's green or purple or who's yellow, red. And this is literally, it's like, the easy button to understand who is at risk. If they're visiting competitor categories or competitor stores, and you know that, come up with a message and make sure it's not just a batch and blast. It's something that's a little bit more unique or maybe positioning against the competitor or that category. So I just love this one. I feel like there's so many ways to be creative with that on the marketing side. I've been choosing from the list. I know we've got a bunch more, but I don't want to be the one that dictates every use case. What are one or two other use cases that you are really excited about that you'd want to share?
I think there's several. You know, we've touched on several already, but one of the things that our clients are most interested in, we're finding, is just understanding how their customers are changing through time. I mean, as a brand, you're taking actions, whether that's marketing or product actions, to move to a place that aligns with your business strategies. And while you can certainly measure that in your financials, the impact that you're having, but what we found is most brands really don't have a way to measure, are we actually attracting and moving the needle in the way that we want to as it pertains to the type of customers that we're attracting either more of or less of through time. And so that's one that we find a lot of interest in, is just that monitoring of how the customer base is changing through time. Another one that we hadn't touched on yet, or two that I'd highlight real quickly, relate to the channels through which to reach individual. You know, every individual consumer has a different set of preferences in terms of how they prefer to consume their media. Some people like to receive emails and interact with emails. Some people hate emails and they prefer radio or digital, you know, other types of digital media. And so that's unique to each individual. And so similar to what we talked about earlier related to being able to optimize for offers with an audience, this technology can be applied to help you understand the optimal channel preferences of a given audience so that you can do better grouping and tailor your marketing efforts toward channels that are strong for a given audience and away from those that are weaker, you know, or customize cadences even related to that. And so that's another area that I think is exciting.
Yeah, I can relate because I hate getting marketed to via SMS or text message. And especially when I've already bought something and I'm still getting marketed to as I did not buy something or I didn't buy the product and I'm still waiting for it.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly. Another one, Brad, that we hadn't talked on about is what we call product match. And so similar to optimizing offers and channels and things of that nature, you know, as a brand, you have a set of products that you offer. And sometimes understanding if I am doing product level marketing, what should I be focused on putting in front of this customer next is sort of a mystery to a lot of brands. And by looking at your data in conjunction with our data and through the use of some of these technologies, that's something that we can help you optimize and sort of understand what should that next touch point be from a product perspective. And ultimately, what is the propensity for any one of your customers for each of your given products? And so being able to have that picture and that snapshot at any point in time to help you optimize your messaging, optimize how you talk to these people is another area that we're focused on.
Nice. All right. Well, I don't know how many use cases we ended up with, but hopefully this was helpful to you, the listener. Again, this is, for me, it's been a new world. It's been a learning experience for myself the last 6 months or so. And I'm really excited as a product guy, data guy at heart, when I started just unpacking and talking about all the different data blending and things that we can do. It was, it was pretty exciting. And especially the world today, and it's not going to go anywhere in the near future of focusing on profitability and maximizing return on ad spend. I feel like there's just, everyone's batch and blasting still. There's not a whole lot of personalization and just curated marketing to individuals and treating them like they're unique persons or even cohorts. And I'm excited to bring some of these use cases to market for our customers and our shared customers.
Likewise, looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Philip, thanks for jumping on. If you have any questions for myself or Philip, feel free to reach out to me. Just shoot me an email, brad@getelevar.com, or hit me up on LinkedIn, and I'll make sure that Philip gets the message as well. And if you're interested in participating in any of these use cases and testing and going through the trial, and we'll be right working with you hand in hand and measuring, let us know. So we're always looking for, again, there's really never ending limit of use cases. So if you have something that we didn't talk about that you'd want to try out, I'm sure Philip can, he's the guy that can tell you if we can make that work, and we'll measure the results with you. That's the episode, and we'll see you next time. Don't forget about Elevar Summit, a couple months away. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Conversion Tracking Playbook. In order to help spread the word and just support the podcast, if you enjoyed this episode, share it on Twitter, share it on LinkedIn, send it to colleagues, or just send me feedback. I love reading feedback. I appreciate it. Many of the guests that have been on here, they've just emailed saying, hey, I'd love to join. Here's some topics. That could be you. Just shoot me an email or hit me up on LinkedIn. My email is brad@getelevar.com. And if you enjoy this podcast and you want to give us a rating, I would appreciate that as well. You can rate us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you are listening to this. But at the end of the day, if you could just share this and let others learn more about the world that you live in, the world that I live in with e-commerce and conversion tracking, I would greatly appreciate it. See you next time.